Welcome to SCL, the Subject to Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes can be found at robnunphoto.com. That's robnunphoto.com. SCL is proud to be sponsored by Mosey Pro, the professional backup service for your business. Find out more at moseypro.com. Hi everyone, I hope you've had a great Christmas, and you've probably noticed that I'm running with the bumpers and the proper introduction again, because one of the things I got for Christmas was a laptop. Oliver got a lovely shiny new laptop, and I got his old one, an old Acer Aspire 5720. It's got 2 GB of RAM, Intel Core Duo 2.2 GHz. And I reinstalled Windows XP on it and all the drivers and everything, and it is way faster than my old desktop was, which was slowed down to snail's pace. So now I can start using Audacity again, Photomatics for my HDRs, Photoshop in anger, whereas with the old machine it all got a bit much, and it was just about good enough for loading photographs and uploading them to Flickr to do things like that. So yeah, new laptop. Oh no, I'm well chuffed. I can renovate it, even though the laptop's a good couple of years old, it's still very, very good. I can render video a lot faster now, so expect to see plenty more of those. But one thing it did kind of highlight was the fact that the laptop had a bit of an overheating problem, so it kept turning itself off. So one of the things I did over Christmas was stripped it apart, took all the back off, and then blew out all the dust with a rocket blower, and got a vacuum cleaner and cleaned out the fan, and a few big lumps of dust came out, and it all seems a lot quieter and seems to be running an awful lot cooler now. It does need new battery, and I understand I checked on eBay and they go for about £40, so that'll be for the next day probably. But as long as that overheating problem doesn't come back, so over the next month I'll give it a good run in, try it with everything going at full whack, and just check it's up to the job, because although the old PC was very, very slow, it's reliable. You know, it will get down to it, even though it might take 3 hours to render a 15-minute video. You know, it does do, and it does get to the end. It doesn't crash or anything like that. What's really cool as well about the laptop is that I can tether it to my Android phone, HTC Desire, and I've got internet access wherever I like. So that's really cool. And also, it's wireless. So as long as I've got a plug socket near me, because the battery doesn't work, I can carry the laptop around and use the internet. And the wireless is excellent, actually. I've never used a laptop with wireless on before. I've always used those little USB wireless dongles, and they were always terrible. You had to make sure they were pointing in the right direction and things like that. But this seems to pick up a great signal from our wireless router wherever we are. Another cool thing was, because I was kind of doing a fresh install from XP, and I haven't done one of those for ages, I was hunting around the house, or I was getting everybody to hunt around for my installation discs for all different bits of software I want to put on, and could I find them? Well, in the end, I found some old copies that I managed to put on. But what I did find when I was hunting around was another three flashes that I've bought from Car Boots over the last few years, which I didn't know I had. And two of them actually worked. So I chucked some batteries in them, checked them, and then they fire off okay, so that's really cool. And that means now I've got three working sort of old flashes. So I can't put them on my camera, because whenever you get any old flashes, don't be tempted to attach them to your new DSLR, because they'll just fry the electrics inside. But using a wireless trigger or some sort of... really with old flashes, you want them totally isolated from your camera, so there's no chance of the electronics frying your more delicate electronics in your digital camera. But with some wireless triggers, it means I've got a 3-flash system, and I can use these in combination with the tripods I've got and gorilla pods I've got. So I'm going to start hunting around on eBay now to find some good cheap wireless flashes. So if anybody's got any great ideas, just email me scalespeeder@gmail.com. And I'll order some in January or February and start playing around with the Strobis type stuff. So, new year, new laptop, and we've also got a new sponsor for the podcast for the next few weeks, Mosey Pro. So, when it comes to running a successful business, there are many things you have to get right, like hiring good people, but one thing is often overlooked, and that's protecting the data that powers your business. Computers, servers, external hard drives, and even tape backups are vulnerable to failure and data loss. In the US alone, over 140,000 hard drives fail every single week. According to one study, only 7% of companies that lose their data centers for 7 days or more survive beyond a year. And that's from the National Archives and Records Administration in Washington, D.C. So what I want to do is tell you about our friends at Mosey, the most trusted name in online backup. They back up more data than the entire written works of mankind from the beginning of recorded history in all languages. Companies like General Electric, Starwood Hotels, and Accenture use Mosey Pro to back up their data. Mosey Pro also backs up education institutions like Stanford University and the Yale School of Management. If you're not backing up your business data with Mosey Pro, here's a reason you should consider Mosey Pro to back up your business data. Mosey Pro is easy to set up and use. Saves you time and costs up to 80% less than other solutions, giving you peace of mind and eliminating the hassle of backing up your data. So, if your business isn't backed up with Mosey Pro, you really need to make sure your data is backed up. Give our friends over at Mosey a call. They've been doing this a long time and run the most secure, most trusted online backup service. Right now, you can save 15% by using the promo code PODCAST15. That's one word. PODCAST15. So, in the States, you can call 877-669-9776 or just visit moseypro.com. That's MOZYPRO.com. Thanks to Mosey Pro for sponsoring the Subject Composition and Light Photography podcast. So, New Year's resolutions, the main subject for today's podcast. Last year, maybe it was because combination of I was working incredibly hard, but I didn't really get on that well with lots of the projects I'd set myself as goals for 2011. And I've come to recognise I'm more of a places type of guy. You know, I like to visit a location with my camera and I'll walk around looking for cool things to photograph and I'll bang off a load of frames and some of them will look good. So what I've decided to do this year is rather than come up with projects like Fortresses of Gospel and stuff like that, I've just made a long list of places I want to shoot, things I want to do, posts I want to write for the blog, episodes for the podcast, and just random ideas that I've put together in my Google Tasks. And if you run Gmail, you can add tasks to it, but you could use any sort of to-do list organizer thingy. And so whenever I've got a spare 5 minutes, I can look at the list on my phone and I can get inspired. And I always have my phone with me, and I've become really religious about writing ideas down as soon as I think them for posts or things to shoot or projects or anything like that, because I'm terrible at forgetting things. You know, I'll be driving to work and I'll think, wouldn't it be a good idea to do this? And I think, right, I'll remember that and I'll do something about it tonight when I get home. And then by the end of the day, I've forgotten what it was. And you know, when you try and remember something, you think, I've got something I should have remembered. So now what I do, as soon as I've got an idea and it's safe to do so, I flash up my phone, flash up Google Tasks, and I put it in the big long list. And it's a big long list of pretty random things, but I thought it might be quite cool just to go through them, just to maybe give you some inspiration and some ideas for things you might want to do for 2012. One of the most popular things for new project is the Camera 365 project, where you take a photograph every day. And I'd recommend, if you've never had a go at one, have a go, because you just go out there and with your camera phone or your camera, take a picture, and you take one every day. I've tried to do it about two or three times now, and I've normally get to about 30 to 40 days and kind of give up. I won't be having another go this year because I've decided that it's beyond me, it's beyond my capability. But I'm going to be doing different things instead. So this is my kind of random list of things I've written down. So here we go. So it's under a heading that says 2012 projects on my phone. So first thing is having a camera always with me. Now, I normally do, but it's going to be the Trip 35 and or the SLR. So, for example, if we're going out as a family and stuff, I'll probably make sure if we go on a day trip, I'll have the SLR with me. But maybe if I'm going to work and things, I'll have my Trip with me, 35mm film camera. And that's just, you know, to capture those opportunities that we sometimes miss. Now, I know I always have my phone with me, and that does take okay photographs, but there's something to be said for having a... I don't like to use the term, but a proper camera, you know, with a proper lens on, rather than the small lenses and sensors you get with your mobile phones. Better subject composition and light photography podcast as well. I'll put that down because I guess I've come quite lazy in the fact that I just record it on my phone. And actually, Suzanne's on her computer at the moment. She's just nodding, saying, "Yeah, I have become quite lazy." In the way that I just record it on the phone, upload it, and I always preferred it when it had the bumpers and the intros and the music and things. But it takes me a little bit longer to do. I'm writing things like show notes before I do the episode. Just helps to keep me on track with the ideas and makes me I not forget things as well. Other things, because I'm going to be playing around with these flashes and getting some flash triggers, one of the best ways I've heard of learning how to do better portraits of other people is to do self-portraits of yourself as well, so you can play around with lighting setups and butterfly lighting and Rembrandt lighting and stuff like that. So I've set myself a project of getting 12 self-portraits as well. I want to do a walk around of old Portsmouth. That's a really old part of Portsmouth, funnily enough, with things like the Round Tower and lots of historic buildings. Buckland's an interesting area of Portsmouth as well, that's modern and built since the war. Some of it looks like Eastern Europe, to be honest, with the housing blocks and stuff. More night photos around Gosport. My night photography, I enjoy it because of things like light trails and having the star effects on things, but I don't do enough of it. Another trip to the Isle of Wight on the hovercraft would be good, and then a nice photo walk around Ryde. Southampton is an area I haven't really explored photographically, so I've put that down, along with Winchester and Southsea. I drive to work through some interesting areas, and Hilsea is interesting as well. That's like the northern bit of Portsmouth where the sea comes round. And again, there's some old industrial areas that look quite cool. And there's also a place in Gosport called Rauner where what they've done is they've boarded up all these houses, and I want to have a look around there and take some photographs before they either demolish them or do them up again and get that sort of recorded on either digital or film. More of a project, this one. I want to make a cardboard 120 film holder for my film scanner, because I want to do some more 120 film this year. I've also noted down something here that says very close portraits. So when I'm doing my portraits of, well, not really portraits, but family shots of Suzanne and Oliver and Valentino, getting in a lot closer to fill the frame with the image. Because, again, I've also noted something here that a photo without people in it is really hard empty. I think that probably comes from Henri Cartier-Bresson. You know, the idea that a great photograph is often a intersection of geometry and the decisive moment. So geometry is what's in the background of the photograph, or maybe even the foreground, maybe the buildings or the trees, the landscape, etc., that catches your eye, the way that light is forming shadows around things. And then the decisive moment is how the people or person within that photograph is interacting with that geometry, and then you press the shutter at just the right moment when all that comes together into that decisive moment. I'm going to pester some of the Super 8 film suppliers and developers in the UK to see if I can get a roll of Super 8 film to use in my Minolta Super 8 camera. I'm determined to do that this year. And I'm going to finish off the short project of the different Ilford films. I've already done the the XB2 or the XB4, the C41 black and white film. But I'm going to do the other three types I've got, and do videos, get example photographs up on the web as well, so you can see the different emulsions from Ilford and the different looks they give you. And I'm going to pester them as well when I've done those ones to send me some of their... They do like a faux infrared type film as well that's very sensitive to red light. So apparently what you do is you then put a red filter on your camera and you can get the infrared look as well. I'm also going to see if I can get hold of a company one of the monitor calibrators calibrating tools, like a Color Monkey or something like that, because it's an area that, for example, I'm looking at my laptop screen now, and I'm aware it's much bluer than the monitor on my desktop upstairs. I've had a go at calibrating it using the built-in software from Microsoft with XP, but it hasn't seemed to make any difference. So I'm very aware that color photography has always been a weak point for me, and that maybe one of the first steps in improving my color photography is making sure, as part of my post-processing workflow, that my monitor is actually showing the right colors that it should be. I know there's always the argument about it doesn't really matter what I'm looking at, because everybody else has an uncalibrated monitor in the world, but by getting that first point okay, then everything else kind of builds on that. Now, what else have I got in my lists? Post lists, what have we got? I'll do a post on how to install Nick plugins on old versions of Photoshop. I'm going to do a video and a post about what I talked about last week about having the Polaroid camera with the blurred pictures. Now I address that. I'm going to do an article about Google Plus as well, how you can use it as a free photo backup. And various other little things that I won't go into today. But there we go. So as you can see, I've got this kind of random list of different things I'm going to be working on. Some are quite small projects, like just visiting an area over a couple of hours and taking lots of photographs, to larger ones like doing a Super 8 film and uploading that to YouTube and sharing it with everybody. But maybe that's inspired you to come up with your own list and get you rocking and rolling for your photography in 2012. Well, that's it from me for this week. Thanks for listening. Here's to a great 2012, and hopefully, pretty soon, I'll see you on Flickr.